This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, WatchAndWager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA. But I mentioned at the top of the show that the big story in racing this week, or at least today anyways, was the announcement that Larry Kolmus will take over the announcing duties with the New York Racing Association starting in April. He will replace the iconic Tom Durkin, and his tenure comes to an end at the end of this month. He'll call his final race at Saratoga in late August. And Larry, nice enough to spend a little time with us from the spa on a very busy day for him. Larry, appreciate the time, my friend.
You got it. It's always good to be on with you guys. It's been a pretty whirlwind type of day, but we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. The press conference earlier today, and look, you have some very big shoes to fill. Tom Durkin, a legend. You have filled his shoes on the television side with your NBC deal, but now you have to fill them in his own backyard here in Saratoga. A lot of pressure on you, I'm sure, but certainly something you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I think that the biggest mistake I would make would be to try to do everything that Tom Durkin does. I'm going to go in with the thought that I'm my own guy. I do things the way I've always done them, and it's worked out so far for me. But there's several good things that Tom has done here in the New York Racing Association tracks, especially here in Saratoga, some really cool traditions, and I'm definitely going to follow those as well. So I think it hopefully will be a fairly seamless transition, but at the same time, a lot of people love Tom's work over the years, and I'll do my best to get everybody to like me as well.
And I mentioned that you won't be taking over that role officially behind the microphone until sometime next April. Talk about your schedule over the next couple of months.
Right. Well, I had a contract with Churchill Downs that I'm going to honor, and I'm going to continue to work there through their September and November meets. So that's going to keep me busy this fall in Kentucky. And John Embrial, who's going to be calling the winter as he always has and is going to continue to do that, he's going to call the fall meet at Belmont when I'm doing the Churchill Downs gigs. And then I'll go to Gulfstream Park for the winter and call the championship meet at Gulfstream from early December to pretty much Florida Derby weekend, and then it'll be time for me to go right from there to New York, and I'm going to start at Aqueduct with the Wood Memorial Week, call that month of April at Aqueduct, go to Belmont Park, and call the spring meet at Belmont, the Saratoga meet, and then the fall meet at Belmont, and in that group we'll mix in the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup too. So it's going to be a pretty busy schedule, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Larry Kolmus.
What was the timeline from the time that you heard that Naira was hiring, and what got you to this point as far as getting offered the job?
Well, I actually reached out shortly after Tom announced that he was retiring and floated an idea of maybe calling the Saratoga meet because it didn't conflict with Churchill Downs, but. The discussions kind of went further after that to have me want to do a little bit more and call the Belmont meets as well. So over the last couple of weeks, things sort of came into place. And last week we kind of knew what was going to happen. And we announced it all at the press conference today.
Larry Kolmus, the new voice of racing at the New York Racing Association, joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry, you and I were together a couple of weeks ago in Saratoga for our coverage of the Whitney Handicap, and you started to maybe get a sense that this might become reality. Describe your emotions when you finally signed on the dotted line and you said, hey, I am now going to call races in New York, and I'm going to get to call at this great place that they call Saratoga. What were those emotions like?
It was very interesting. It all kind of came to a surprising head this morning when we had the press conference and Chris Kay introduced me, and then they played the Kentucky Derby video, and it was time to me to talk at that point, and I actually got a little bit choked up because I realized that after calling races for the almost 30 years that the goal of being the voice of New York racing had finally happened. And it kind of choked me up a little bit, and it's something I'm very proud of, the fact that I've been able to get this job, and it's something that I also take very seriously, and I'm, it's going to be not a difficult job, but one in which there's a lot of added pressure, and so I'm going to be definitely working hard.
You told me this story last week about getting involved with calling races or just being around the sport at first, and it was really your dad that had something to do with it, but he didn't really have much to do with racing. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, he actually was a sound engineer, and he put in and operated the sound system at Timonium at the Maryland State Fair, and I worked for him in the summer as a kid when I was a teenager, and he found out, and I found out that I was pretty much mechanically incompetent, and that would not be a good job for me. So luckily, I fell in love with horse racing right away, and I decided that I wanted to do something in racing, and then I started to watch all these replay shows and listen to the different announcers from around the country. There was no simulcasting back then. But as I listened to the different race callers, I would go up into the press box where the announcer was, and I would do impressions of these different race callers, and someone said, well, you should try to do this for real. And so I ended up finding a place in the press box in the Maryland tracks where they let me pretty much practice calling races. And one day Chick Lang, who was the general manager at Pimlico, heard me and said, hey, why don't you get started here? And he had me start calling one race a day back in 1985, starting at the summer meet at Bowie. So it was an interesting start. I got off to an early beginning with this job, and have been doing it ever since.
What do you remember about that first day in the booth, standing behind the microphone, they load into the gate? What was going through your mind at that point?
It's a long time ago, but it was a pretty pretty nervous moment. I remember exactly who won the race, a horse named Tiara's Flame for King Leatherberry with Alberto Delgado in the saddle. So that all comes to mind. I don't remember a whole lot about the race itself other than the fact that my binoculars were shaking and I was nervous as can be and just happy I got through it.
Well, look, you get to call races now like the Kentucky Derby. You get to call the Breeders' Cup. You call the entire Triple Crown, as a matter of fact. And now you're going to get to call the Travers and the Woodward and the Alabama and all of the historic races that come with being the announcer at Saratoga. Does Larry Colmus still get nervous eventually before the race, occasionally before the race?
Absolutely, of course. Especially with the Triple Crown races, those are really nerve-wracking, particularly the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont, especially if there's a Triple Crown on the line. You always have those nerves going, and I think that they actually help you a little bit too. The nervous energy really perks up the call of the race even more. But you also need to control it and make it worthwhile and to your benefit rather than to your detriment. So it's a fine line on how to handle those nerves. And so far, it's been okay for me. I think is the more of these bigger races that I call, the less nervous I would be. So I think that'll be good. I was counting the other day. I think in the calendar year next year, I'm going to call more than 50 grade ones, which is pretty amazing.
Ed Burghardt this morning tweeted a picture of you from the newspaper out in California calling the Orange County Fair at Los Al. I didn't know you had called out in California. Tell us about what you did out there.
Yeah, I was the announcer at Golden Gate Fields from 1988 to 1991, and also did some of the fairs, including the Orange County Fair at Los Alamitos. And so Ed Burghardt and I had a chance to work together at that fair. He is one of the coolest guys in this game, by the way, and just an amazing race caller. He helped me with quarter horses because I hadn't done that before, and he's the best in the business in the quarter horse game. So he's also a very good friend. So it was good to to hear from Ed, you know, when he tweeted that. He's such a great guy, and I enjoyed my time out in California.
Well, Larry, you're a class act, and I can't think of a better fit for the Naira position than you, my friend. And want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today, and certainly congratulate you on a tremendous accomplishment. And well done. We're going to look forward to hearing your calls coming up at Naira in the future.
Do I get an Embrace the Race prize for being on the show?
Sure. Well, wait a minute. You wore your Embrace the Race tie at the press conference today. I gave you the Embrace the Race cap when you did the Whitney with me. What more do I have to do?
Yeah, but Mike from Embrace the Race hand-delivered me the tie this morning, so it was pretty cool. He's such a great guy, and I was happy to be sporting one of your sponsors.
Oh, that's wonderful. Larry Colmus here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry, we'll talk to you here soon, my friend. Congratulations again. Well done.
Thanks a lot, guys.